everybody thought we wouldn't do it. Everybody thought it could not be done. Everybody thought it was over. But still, here we are. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the pre-show. And if we're going to go by the very, very dire, what would you call it, a prognosis?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I feel like my emotions have been toyed with.
I feel unprepared now. I got here, everybody. I got here at 5:45. I wanted a whole hour and 15 minutes of preparation so I wouldn't have to do anything. And get here and the internet is out. And it's not only an outage in this studio, it's an outage in almost the entire village. So, and they pretty much told us at Optimum Online that they can't guarantee that it will be on anytime before 9 p.m. But here we are at 7 o'clock. Actually, the service was restored at 6:55. So, there are a few things I can't do tonight. Like, I want to give a shout out to Gongink. Gongink, for a sec, he's been making amazing bumpers and stuff for the show. Also, big shout out to Jordan Cox as well from Chicago. He made a, he boosted up his bumper for the, he wanted to give me an edit on his amazing Twilight Zone bumper. And I haven't been able to, I came here early so I can download all these things. And, of course, I haven't had any internet, so we're just going to have to play this by ear. So if there's anything you were looking for that I haven't provided with you tonight, just remember, tomorrow I'll be making up for all the loose ends that have remained loose. But in the meantime, welcome to the pre-show, everybody. Rob's with us for this journey. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing well now.
Yes, I know.
I know. I was feeling a little disappointed, but all systems go.
All systems go, and not only that, but it's going to be a very, very loose show tonight. We have some things we got to talk about in the first half, but the second half is going to be largely reliant on your calls. It's just open forum, open for everything. And I got to get in touch with Scott Anthony because I told him not to call in tonight because I had no service. He was going to call in with some kind of an update from Arizona, and I got to get in touch with him over the break or something like that. But what are we doing tonight? Tonight's show, we're joined once again by Rob, as I said. In the first half, we've got a lot of interesting things to talk about. Some light stuff. I have to tie up some stuff from last night. I know that there was an internet outage right around a time that I was kind of like crescendoing. And some people asked me to go over a few things, so I'll do that. It'll be good. But first, CBSNews.com. Rob, very, very sad news. Jerry Marin, the last surviving Wizard of Oz munchkin, is dead at 98 years old.
Think of all the secrets. We covered some of the Wizard of Oz secrets, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, something about munchkin orgies, right?
Wasn't it actually, who was it?
Or like sexually harassing Judy Garland?
Yes, that she was getting harassed by the munchkins.
By the munchkins,
like they're going up her skirt and stuff like that. I wonder if Jerry Marin was one of them.
I know. Well, maybe he got better in his old age.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a long life.
When was Wizard of Oz? 39?
38 or 39.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it was 38 or 39. First Technicolor film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Oz scene.
But, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff. We were talking about that the other night, too, just with Poppy Fields. You know, did you hear the call with Andy Kubik?
Who was Andy Kubik?
Our special forces friend who called in the other night to talk about his
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, yes, the Air Force guy. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a great call.
Absolutely. The first thing I thought about when we were talking about Afghanistan and the poppy fields out there and what's going on with the opium, I thought right about Wizard of Oz, you know. So there's so many things going on. Opiates of the masses. There's many of them. Many mass opiates out there. We'll talk about him, though.
Said that, by the way?
Oh, God.
Is it Marx?
It was either that.
Yeah.
He was talking about religion.
Religion, the opiate of the masses. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I don't know what's worse. What's the worst opiate? Could it be religion or would it be communism? Where you have absolutely no identity whatsoever. That's it. I don't know. But people will say whatever they have to do to be able to get a leg up on whatever the world power of that time, or the most influential power on the world is at that point. But here's another thing that I called. I called this right off the bat, Samantha Bee. Say, what was Samantha Bee's apology going to be like? She was going to say some half-assed sorry. I'm sorry for using some naughty language, but, and then she'll go into something about how just, you know, she just is driven to the brink by this administration, and sometimes it just comes out. Listen to this nonsense. She says that she issued an angry apology. Oh, well, Wednesday she issued an angry apology for her controversial remarks regarding White House senior advisor Ivanka Trump, saying, quote, "It is a word I have used on the show many times, hoping to reclaim it." So I guess cunt is a word that is just...
So it wasn't an insult then?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, it's not an insult. She's just trying to reclaim it for women.
Oh, but she called her a feckless cunt.
A feckless cunt.
So feckless is...
And I don't understand, when you say reclaim, does that mean that you owned it at one point and then it was lost to something?
I didn't know the connotation of cunt was ever different. I thought cunt was always, you know, vile insult.
That's what I always heard. I mean, I said it regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I always heard that it is a terrible thing. I mean, even Gadget Doc, whenever I would let it slip on this show, he would get in touch with me afterwards and say, "And Frank, listen, just leave the C word out of this. It's really a disgusting word."
Do you think that's the most disgusting word?
No. Like I said, you can make words so disgust. I mean, I know some words have more weight historically than others.
Yeah.
So you have to, some words just carry baggage. But right. Aside from that, I mean, you can eviscerate a person to the core without even using any real curse words.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, I can make somebody hurt a lot more without using the word cunt at all. I mean, I can, that's it.
I meant specifically for vagina. Is that the worst?
Oh.
And I know it doesn't mean, you know. It's more like a characteristic.
I always liked twat more than cunt.
As being, like, worse, like more...
No, not exactly worse, but I think that it bites just as hard as cunt, but it's a little bit more acceptable to say out in the open. Mm. Like, you call somebody a salty twat, yeah. It comes off the tongue really easy, but it's, you know...
Like, Europeans, I think, use twat much more.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think twat is amazing.
I think you want to know, like, the worst... I think the worst is gash.
Oh, that is pretty gross.
Yeah, that has a much, much more, you know, dirty.
Well, there's box.
Box is great.
It's fine.
It's fine. That's like PG-13.
Yeah.
You know.
And then everything. I mean,
it's a nice box.
You hear? You got a nice box.
Just want to crawl into it.
Just want to take a nap.
Yeah.
Oh man. But you know, back to this idiot. she says, you know, actually, hold on. Here. Let's listen to her. I hate her voice.
You know, a lot of people were offended and angry that I used an epithet to describe the president's daughter and advisor last week. It is a word I have used on the show many times, hoping to reclaim it.
It's been my life's work to reclaim this word. It's very important that we're able to use, we're feminists. Oh, it's very, oh, God.
This time. I used it as an insult. I crossed the line. I regret it, and I...
This time she used it as an insult, she
this
says.
Time. When was it not in...
She's trying to reclaim the word, but not as an insult.
Oh, it's okay. Empowering.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Well, if you're, according to Sally Field, cunts are gracious and honorable and what did... Hold on. This is the most amazing thing. Hold on. Sally Field cunt tweet. Okay, here she goes. Here's the tweet she put out there. I like Samantha Bee a lot, but she's flat wrong to call Ivanka a cunt. Cunts are powerful, beautiful, nurturing, and honest. I don't know. I haven't met a nurturing, honest cunt yet.
I mean, maybe I just didn't understand how the word was used.
And powerful, maybe
it was not. It was meant to be as vile. As it could be, I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as far as powerful goes, I mean, maybe the repulsion is powerful. How you repulse people is powerful when you call somebody a cunt. I usually the greatest trait that a cunt carries around with her or him, whatever, is that they're able to drive people away from them because nobody wants to be around them.
Right.
You know, so I don't.
It's like the antithesis of women, right? Like
these people are mental acrobats. That's what they are. Let's listen a little bit longer.
Do apologize for that. The problem is that many women have heard that word at the worst moments of their lives. A lot.
Oh, you know, you prune-faced little pig.
A lot of them don't want that word reclaimed. They want it gone. And I don't blame them.
But then why?
But listen, they don't know what's good for them.
I mean, there's the contradictions that just went in this one thing. It's maddening.
Look, this is what a child does when they know that they really are in the wrong, but they will not own up to it in a real, authentic way. And they're like, what are we listening to right here? I've been trying to reclaim this. I know you've heard it in only, in degrading ways, but we have to get past that and really embrace this word. And we're talking about the word cunt when I said that wasn't even the worst part of what she did on that bit. She was insinuating incestuous relationships between Ivanka to be able to influence immigration policy.
Right. Right. Well, she didn't mention what the problem was with immigration either.
Well, she can't talk. She can't talk policy. None of these people can. They're just out there to make jokes about drinking when they feel bad, and that's it. Hopefully, the world will align themselves. Now, the rest of that, the rest of this stuff, we'll just wait for tomorrow. Rob, I was going to bring up some stuff that I see going on YouTube right now because obviously, it's Pride Month now, which is one of those. Now, I want to avoid February and June.
I did not know that there was a Pride month.
It's what do you expect at this point? What do you expect at this point? Everybody's got a day in a month now, and it's because you need an entire 4 weeks to be able to bludgeon people over the head with stuff instead of really actually just treating each other like equals and going on with your lives.
Absolutely.
If you saw, I'm going to play two videos tomorrow that I just don't want to put you through this shit.
I appreciate that because you know how I am.
This will leave a stain on you. Tomorrow I will do this to myself because I am self-loathing in this way.
Taking one for the team.
I'm going to take one for the team tomorrow because some things need to be said.
Okay,
but I will bring this one up though because it is Pride Month, and teen reality star Jazz Jennings. So this is the little boy who
This is the trans. This whole thing is absolutely atrocious.
It's bad.
What they've done to this child.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, hormones at, what was it, like 12 years old?
About that.
And then to glorify it on TV, to exploit it, it's horrifying. And then you see what's happening to her or him. I don't even know how to refer. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
It's child abuse.
It is.
It really is.
No, it is. And you look at all this stuff, and once again, I did a lot of, because I remember when Jazz Jennings did that whole that whole countdown of how to date and how to, you know, what the rules for dating a trans girl is. And I know no matter how you talk about this, unless you are saying yes to everything, somebody's going to think that you're just a hateful bigot. And I took this point by point in saying that, listen, there's people out there who are working through things. Now, to tell the other 99.7% of society that they have to reevaluate the way that we see basic facts of nature in order to make certain people comfortable in their skin is ridiculous. Because to be there for people who have these identity issues and whatever the hell else doesn't mean you have to be there making fun of them. You don't have to castigate them. You know, but this nuance is lost because there are votes at stake here. That's all it comes down to. There are votes at stake. Okay, so we're back on. I guess it's just going to happen, but as long as we know where we left off, here's the beginning of the article right here. Transgender reality TV star and LGBTQ activist Jazz Jennings took to social media to gush about an upcoming penis-to-vagina gender reassignment surgery, telling fans, "This is something I've wanted my entire life." Jennings, who was born a boy but whose parents set on a path to transition starting at the incredibly young age of 5...
That is...
5!
That is, like I said, this is child abuse to do this. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, we're joking around in the beginning of the show, curse, whatever, Samantha Bee, it's okay to goof on, but, I mean, this is horrible.
Awful, and I wait until tomorrow. You want to talk about child abuse.
I told you that I when you mentioned it to me before, I was like, no.
No, yeah, listen to this. Hold on, actually, I think this is it. How long is this?
Hey, everyone! everyone, Jazz is back for another video, and I'm sad to say that this is the end of my coming out party as a YouTuber. Hashtag Jazz Week is ending. I don't even think we ended up using that hashtag or talking about it in any of the other videos, but like, whatever. Hashtag Jazz Week wasn't gonna be a thing in the first place. Like,
you know, she's starting to actually look like more of a boy now. It's a problem.
Yeah, I think that they were. I was reading a little bit about that because of the hormones. Yeah. And then, like, she had her penis taken off, right?
Well, no, the problem here, I think, I don't know if it happened with her or somebody else, but the problem here was that this, we started reading about how the real issue that they're starting to encounter was how soon do you start with the puberty blockers? Because if you start with the puberty blocking hormone therapy and all that stuff too young, then your penis never gets big enough to be able to be shaped into a vagina or just a hole that is going to be, you know, serviceable enough to actually look, you know, because not enough skin. You know, so, I mean, she goes on. I don't even want to listen to the rest of this, but here's some of the quotes. I'm going to have new genitalia, Jennings said in the video. Penis to vagina, that's some serious shit, y'all. I can't believe it. I'm going to have a vagina. No, what you're going to have is a penis that's been split down the middle and tucked inside of you. That's what you're going to have, a mutilated penis.
It's going to be like a farming accident.
I mean, it's whatever. She's one thing. The one sad thing is peeing standing up is so cool. I don't think I've appreciated it enough to be able to pee standing up. Oh, I'm not. It's over. But that's it. So happy Pride Month, everybody. This is definitely something to be proud about. And we'll be right back.
At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to leave the room so I can have a private moment with Coop. Now that we're alone, Coop, there's something I want to tell you. Remember when you had the crabs and the only thing that made you feel better was this lotion? Well, I found another use for it. It feels so good. It makes me want to sing. Just like that night we spent in the tattoo parlor in Chicago. Come on, baby. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for my car. Too sexy for my car. Too sexy by far.
You getting this?
You tune in at your own enjoyment, because it is the best show since the beginning of time. It has technological advancements and a more sophisticated approach. But like every great awakening that has preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is a friend and truth is essential. You are now entering, quite frankly. Now take off your pants. And jacket.
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Good is it? Things are well with some people. Some things are well. But we'll talk about the rest of it now as we're starting off this show. It's already had a little bit of a hiccup and then a smaller hiccup. But it's all right. Because as long as we know where we leave off, we can always just come back on in. Now, welcome to the show, everybody. It is the Thursday night edition. And we're going to get started with some loose ends that we had to tie up. Now, Here's last night's episode. It was at the hour 15 minute and 27 second mark. I want to play this just for a second. A lot of people asked me to tie up some loose ends when we were talking about Carter Page and the two-hop rule. Now, moving on, let me just go there for a second, and just so we can hear, because this is where the thing cut out. 15, 20. Okay. So listen to this just for maybe about 45 seconds. We'll see where we can come on in. So we're talking about all the ways that we're learning about how the Trump campaign was spied on during the 2016 election and probably even before that in 2015. It keeps going farther and farther back the more information comes out. And we are starting. It doesn't seem like we can ever find the start of it. We can never find the thing that triggered it, which means that it's probably something pretty deep and pretty disturbing. Listen to this. Who oversees the investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller said in April that Trump is not the target of Mueller's investigation. Number two, the FISA warrant. The FBI and DOJ obtained a FISA spy warrant on Carter Page, a volunteer advisor to the Trump campaign, on October 21st, 2016. Under the so-called two-hop rule, the FISA warrant could have been, now remember that two-hop rule. I actually learned about that from people like Dan Bongino. The FISA warrant could have been used to spy on anyone within two layers of separation from Page himself. Okay, now you think about the people who are within two separations of Page himself. At the time that he was in the campaign, just think about this, using the two-hop rule. Now, you can say, well, why on earth would they go after people like Carter Page and George Papadopoulos when you can just surveil Trump? Why not just surveil Trump? Well, first of all, that would be way too big of a fish to go after. And just like with McCabe, you can say, well, listen, why not give him a plea deal? Why not give him immunity if he can give you a bigger fish? In this situation, if you have surveillance on someone like Carter Page, who is, by all accounts, a dupe, has already worked for the FBI to help nab Russians. And if you have them inside of the Trump campaign... So that's pretty much where we left off. It's about to cut off right there. Now, the thing I wanted to tie up for people is this two-hop rule. Now, we had started this all by saying that Andy McCabe was trying to get a immunity deal yesterday. At least that's what was being reported. And some people say that, you know, why not you do it? And I say, why? Why right. give him any kind of an out when it just seems like, I mean, everything is out in front of us.
Right.
The real problem we have right now is that the Department of Justice keeps slow walking out all this information that will give us all the answers we need about how this all originated. And they're obviously trying to cover something up that is very, very embarrassing for the inner system. Now, with Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, you have people who have already been on the radar. People who have already been on the radar, and they are small enough to be able to throw some things into their laps. One thing that we have to talk about more is this Joseph Mifsud guy. Okay, he's fallen off the face of the earth, but he is a huge part of all this stuff. He's the only reason why George Papadopoulos ever even knew that the Russians had dirt on Hillary. And that's what he told Alexander Downer in that London bar, that the Russians have dirt on Hillary. The interesting thing is nobody really talks about how what he said was the Russians have dirt on Hillary, not the Russians have dirt on the DNC. Okay? Now, remember also on July 5th of 2016 when James Comey came out, and he was talking about all the things that Hillary did wrong. Another one of the things that he did was pretty much guarantee that there was a high probability that foreign actors had been able to infiltrate her private home server, which was completely illegal to have because it would be mishandling of classified information.
Right.
So he already pretty much told us that foreign governments and foreign actors probably were able to infiltrate her server. We're talking once again about her problem, her email, what she did bringing her work home with her in a secret way.
Right, which is, absolutely against the law.
Exactly.
Just, you know, doing that.
Exactly.
Itself, you know what I mean?
So, but still, when we hear about this George Papadopoulos guy, who is supposedly the reason why this counterintelligence investigation started, all we ever hear, and they keep saying it over and over again, and nobody seems to catch what they're saying, which is George Papadopoulos was never told. By all accounts, I've never seen one retelling of this story where George Papadopoulos was told by Joseph Mifsud that the Russians have information on the DNC. It's always been Russians have the information and dirt on Hillary. How would that ever implicate Trump or anybody else? So, and of course, Joseph Mifsud he's in that sphere of influence of Israeli and UK intelligence, as well as Stephen Halper, who's also working with the FBI. So you have this guy who puts information into George Papadopoulos's hand, send him off to a bar in London, and have people pepper him about whether or not he heard anything from anywhere, hear anything about Russian meddling at all recently, you know? And then all of a sudden he says, yeah, actually, I did hear something. One thing from one person, that's it. And all of a sudden, a Trump campaign member said that Russians have dirt on Hillary, and that's all the things you need.
The 28-year-old kid.
Exactly.
In the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have Carter Page. Now, here's the thing. Carter Page, they're actually able to get a FISA warrant on, mostly because of this dossier. And one of the only verifiable things inside the dossier is the fact that Carter Page went to Russia. Well, the FBI would know a lot about Carter Page since they were working with him until spring 2016. So they go and they get this. Now, you could say Patsy or Plant. It doesn't even matter. The fact is that Carter Page was used to spy in the Trump campaign. And the two-hop system allows you to not only watch Carter Page, but you're able to monitor people he talks to and people he's talking to who they're talking to. So you can go 2 degrees of separation away from the person who is actually the target of your surveillance order. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, Carter Page, who's already said he's never had access to President Trump, How easy is this to consider that he does have access to somebody like Corey Lewandowski, who was at the time a campaign manager. So you're telling me that low-level policy advisors or whatever, they don't have access to the campaign manager, a guy who interfaces on behalf of Donald Trump? So if you are able to already leapfrog from someone like Carter Page, who is as useless as they come, to get to somebody like Corey Lewandowski, you can definitely go from Corey Lewandowski to the man himself, Donald Trump. So you think about the 2 degrees of separation. In a normal setting, you have 2 degrees of separation from just somebody who might be inside the country doing whatever, a foreign actor from inside the country or somebody who's an American citizen who might be up to no good. But if you're talking about getting a FISA warrant on somebody who is inside a very small tank, which is a political campaign, then you have access to pretty much everybody in the campaign as long as he talked to them once, you know? So that's what it comes down to with this whole thing. So you can say, well, you know, what's the whole point? Well, the point is Carter Page is useless, but the people that they can monitor through him is not useless. It's very useful. And still they haven't found anything. Still they haven't found anything. So they know that Carter Page is a nobody with zero special access to Trump because he's written about it, but they had the 2 degrees of separation. And now, once again, this is all that was intended to do. All this was intended to do was sow public suspicion and continue to build this narrative that has already been given to people. And that's the very least of it all there. Now, if they happen to uncover a crime along the way, then hip, hip, hooray. They found something. But that didn't happen, obviously, because they're still trying. They're still interviewing. All they were left with was interviewing Stormy Daniels for weeks. Okay, and where did that end up? You hear what's going on with her now, Rob?
No, I never heard what was going on with her.
But she has now been left to, she's filing a lawsuit against one of her older attorneys for, guess what, colluding with Trump's lawyers. Colluding with Trump's lawyers. She's suing her own
her own
counsel now for colluding with Trump's lawyers now that her Michael Avenatti guy has been chased off the face of the earth. And really, what does that all really come down to? The denial of a 10-year-old affair. There's nothing else there.
Well, I mean, she's a classy woman, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wish her well.
Yeah, so good for her. Good for her. Now, there's one other thing I want to get around to. Because, of course, the whole game plan for tonight is to get us to 8 o'clock, and then for the whole second half, We just want to hear from you. Rob and I want to answer questions and just bullshit with you. But CNN, here's what I want to bring up, because this sent me on a path here. CNN Politics, Justice Department internal report expected to fault former FBI and DOJ officials. Now, they're talking about the upcoming OIG report.
Okay.
And now comes the softening of the blow. I want you to just listen to the opening thing here, because we've been talking about this for a long time. Nobody has been concentrating on Michael, Horowitz. Outside of right. circles like ours. Nobody's right. concentrating on it. Right. So now that this is going to start becoming unavoidable, in comes CNN to the rescue. Listen to this first thing. The highly anticipated report from the Justice Department's Inspector General is expected to yield an unvarnished account of multiple missteps by former top officials at the Department and FBI for their failure to follow long-standing protocols in the handling of the Hillary Clinton email probe, according to sources familiar with the matter. While sources caution the report is not yet final, because, of course, as we're seeing right now, people like Rod Rosenstein are trying pretty hard to get things redacted and edited, because it's getting more and more embarrassing and all that stuff, which is, if this comes out redacted and changed, I mean, I don't know what else to say. But either case, the exhaustive review of the momentous period in the department's history is expected to criticize former FBI Director James Comey's handling of the investigation at key junctures for violating departmental norms. They're not talking about law. They're not talking about anything else. They're not talking about any kind of real false exonerations. Nothing like that. We're talking about this. I can't say, you listen to how this is written. Missteps, failure right. to follow longstanding protocol. Not so much failure to follow the law, but protocols that have merely been longstanding. They right. can change at any point.
Like, they just goofed, right?
Goofed.
Like when Comey came out, like, you know, well, Hillary did this, but, you know.
It sounds
she didn't
like
mean to do it, so it's okay.
Absolutely. Dude, it sounds like that they're saying that James Comey didn't lick the postage stamps on letters he was right. writing.
Yeah.
Didn't okay. Like silly Andy McCabe had put the return address on his stationery in the wrong spot. That's what this sounds like.
I know.
Hey, it happens, right? Oh, my God. You know, and then I'm reading this and I'm saying, you know, Rob, this is really my problem with what's going on here. It's the reason why I have good days and I have bad days with this stuff. The frustration I feel is with the way that these matters are reported on, because it's a highlight of how important it is for progressives to make all of this go away, not to really get to the bottom of it, because right. they don't want to share the space with anybody. They don't want to share the space with anybody. This is about winning and losing. They see their countrymen as opponents. That's all this is. And you can say the same for some people, for people on the right as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But for the most part, when you think about one side who says everybody must live like us, and the other side that says be whoever the hell you want, just don't expect me to go along with it and allow me to have the independence to say no. You can say, yeah, both sides don't agree on much, but only one side demands the other side to comply.
Right.
That's the only thing that's going on here. And when the shit starts stinking, they just want it to go away. Mm. And it just it really, really just brings me down, man.
Well, I mean, we were talking about this before earlier today, you know, and what can we do and how do we resolve this? Because I feel the same way too, man. It gets overwhelming, and I think people that have been, you know, reading about this stuff and have been, you know, started on that path, you know, invariably you're gonna have bad days where it's just overwhelming, like the thickness of you know, of it.
No, yeah.
So, you know, what can we do? What can you do?
I think
it's, you know, the people that are within your circle, the people that, you know, you interact with, you care about, and you enjoy your life, you know? I'm not saying be oblivious. The ostrich in the ostrich, right? Ostrich.
Yeah.
I know we have a pronunciation.
We have a pronunciation problem over here in New York.
Exactly. It's an ostrich.
Ostrich.
It's an ostrich, right? That's how the right way. The bird.
Yes.
Okay. So you don't want to be an ostrich with your head in the sand, but There has to be a level of detachment that you cultivate with this type of stuff, because it will overwhelm you. You know.
Go ahead. I was just going to say,
like, before when we were talking about this, where it's like the traps are set on both sides. You know what I mean? Like, where if you're totally oblivious to this and you're screaming about blah, 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 well, it's like, I don't want to say lost, but, you know, you're in that frame of mind and you're there. But it's also, if you go to the other extreme where it's like, you know, the conspiracy is everywhere, and I'm not saying that it's not, but when you become trapped in that type of thing, now it's like you're just on one extreme or the other. You know, you're totally here or totally there, but you're not, you know, within yourself.
And that's the problem here too, because, you know, what we talked about just in normal mainstream political sphere, we have talked about even there that you see hardening of lines, and the moderate middle is starting to evaporate. You know, you think about people who are in the middle of things while extremes on both ends are doing their work. They're the ones that really get shit on.
Yeah.
You know, choose a side or you're just a shill. And then eventually, right, with the pressure that you put on people and all of the controversy that you stir up, you actually do push people to one end or the other. Or you get people so so disgusted with everything, they disengage.
Right.
So now I was thinking about this. You know, I came back to John Adams again. And I was watching this scene in episode 3 where Abigail Adams and the Adams kids, they get the word by courier that Cornwallis had surrendered at Yorktown. And there's tears in their eyes, tears in Abigail's eyes, because they know that independence is all but guaranteed at this point. The Battle of Yorktown was the backbreaking point for the British. And that freedom was in reach, independence was in reach. And perhaps John, especially from a family point of view, wouldn't be away so much because he was in France, he was in Holland, he's trying to get things together, try to make sure that this independence movement was able to get some foreign backing, whether it be military or money-wise. And I had this moment in my living room the other night that I felt so happy for these characters in this moment of hearing how the fight was coming, you know, coming to a really decisive end. Now, I understand that when I was watching the television, it was really just Laura Linney in a costume. I understand that. I'm not delusional, okay? But I was just looking at this from a historical standpoint, and I felt so happy for them 237 years after the siege of Yorktown had concluded, because they were so close to being free to chart their own destiny as a nation, and especially as individual people. And they didn't have a choice but to fight. Mm-hmm. But to fight. They had no choice. It had to come down to fighting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because the current system that they had back then did not provide colonial Americans a civil means of correcting wrongs against them. We supposedly have a civil society,
right,
because of what happened previously. Supposedly we have that civil means of correcting wrongs in society and correcting wrongs in the terms of our relationship between the governed and government. So the odd part for me was this the other night, was being happy for them, for these characters and for these historical characters, but also at the same time feeling completely separate from them. Because what ultimately led to that war, the war for independence? You had crackdowns on speech. You had refusal to grant colonies fair representation in parliament. You had protectionist tariffs that was choking off free enterprise here. You had failure for the crown to address the grievances of Americans altogether. And then, of course, the final straw was you had disarmament. And here we are now, and I was sitting in my living room in 2018, much like 1770, where we're living under a bureaucratic state that is really just a king and a queen without a face this time. You know, a faceless king that is just as reluctant to curb its appetites for power than it ever has been. And, you know, we demand fairness under the law as Americans, as free people, because, of course, American culture is based on natural law. I know society and society has had to evolve over times, but natural law applies to all people.
And all things.
And all things.
Absolutely.
And we demand fairness under the law, but we get stymied by, and I'm talking in present tense now, we're getting stymied by redactions, by lawsuits and by mealy-mouthed politicians who want to skirt around the issue and keep things right where they are. And, of course, we get stymied by the preachers in the media who don't allow us to see things for what they are. And, of course, in a greater sense, we get stymied by these Tory judges, you know? And to see the attempts to edit or redact information that might embarrass the Tories, or CNN twisting their words into pretzels in order to make Jim Comey sound like a guy who just preferred to improvise on the job instead of, you know, the crooked fuck that he is. Being the crooked fuck that he is. He was just improvising a little bit. He might have gone outside of the bounds of long-standing departmental protocols. But, you know, he was in it. He loves this country.
Oh, right.
He's a Boy Scout. You know, I can't stand this. It really makes me wonder how much longer we are going to be able to rely on the civility of our civil system, even though our civil system has seemingly been zombified by just gross figures. Gross figures all around.
But the structure is in place for us
it
to
is
handle
place.
This.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's why I love when you have Chris Ann Hall on.
She has the right idea.
I believe that, you know. Well, I don't want to say too much. I don't want to get you striked on YouTube, you know.
Go ahead.
Well, you can't really like call to revolution or anything, you know what I mean?
No.
Not that I'm saying that, and I don't think that that's the answer. Well, the revolution is not the 1776 version of it. You know, we can build on that, you know. I mean, I don't foresee this country turning into Mad Max, you know?
No.
So we have certain things in place where we can, you know, bring it back to what it's supposed to be and what it's already been fought for.
Yeah, and, you know, and going back to Chris Ann Hall, too, she has the right idea because she speaks with simplicity and sternness. You know, liberty,
right.
Liberty is simple. It isn't easy, but it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for example, you talk about all of the you talk about the cake, the bakers and the cakes and the gay weddings and all that stuff. Now, if you want to talk about an actual we didn't really speak about it that much on the show, that one ruling in particular. But if you really want to talk about the constitutional the constitutional angle on that is that federally we have there's absolutely nothing. It is all a state issue. All of that is a state issue right there. I mean, so for our right. That's what it should have been. So if Colorado State says that, you know, you need to compel people, and that is in accordance with their state constitution, compel people to I mean, from the basis of it, here's liberty, okay? I know what the social justice aspect of the cakes is, that everybody has a right to everything unless you're straight, white, Christian, or you know. All right, we are back. I'm sorry. Here's the real bad thing about this. With YouTube, we already had two dropouts tonight so far. With YouTube, we're able to just pick up where we left off. Twitter... Mm-hmm. A new stream is launched every time, so I probably have like three tweets I have to delete later on. So that's what we're just talking about. We're talking about simplicity and sternness and how liberty is simple, but it isn't easy. You know, it isn't easy. I know it's not easy for anybody to walk into a place and be rejected based on somebody else's religious beliefs, because somebody else's religious beliefs excludes what you want to do in your personal life. That's tough. That sucks. Okay, I can completely empathize with that. Okay. And but aside from that, you think about it in another way where you just have to let it go. You have to let it go.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme these days.
It's the way. It's you just have to let it go.
Let that shit go, like the Buddha said.
Because I'll tell you, everybody that you are forced. That you compel, every regulation that you put on a business, any regulation you put on anything, comes back to bite you, and liberty is lost little by little. And that's what it comes down to everything else. And I know that it ties in a strange way to everything we were talking about with CNN and their reporting on this OIG report and the reality of things and what is really going on in people's heads. But I don't know. That's it for right there. Okay, let's do our thank yous. Let's get into the second hour of the show so we can take some calls and hopefully survive a little bit longer. So, for everybody watching right now on YouTube, I know it's probably getting annoying for you, but thank you so much for sticking with us. Please just keep sharing it around. Please letting people know that we are on here and we're doing such a great job loving you down that you should come back every night, Monday through Friday, and hang out. Now, tomorrow night is the last show of the week. It should be a good show right there. And I have more things lined up for tomorrow. A lot of interesting things that are building. Some esoteric things as well. But who knows where tonight's show is going to go, because we're still going to be taking your calls. I want to thank you all for watching. Thank you. Please go and subscribe and keep track of everything. All of the pertinent links that you need are in the description of this video. Okay? Go check it out, especially, quite frankly, podcast.com. All of the places that you can follow us on, it's all right there. I'm just going to try to keep this short tonight. I also want to point you out to HDMirrorCam.com. HDMirrorCam.com, I showed you guys last night. Here's a little bit more of it. Amazing stuff. It's a nice, nice little attachment for your rearview mirror that allows you to keep a better edge on everything that you're doing on the road. So you're able to keep yourself accountable. You're able to monitor the kids a little bit. You're able to provide a little bit more evidence for all the nasty assholes out there who are going to try to knock you around, throw their stuff into your car, you know, ding you up and leave. It's a great, great thing to do, especially with that 60-day money-back guarantee. Look at that. Amazing! So you got to buy HDMirrorCam.com. But if you click, you have to click through all the links that I provide on the description there or on, quite frankly, podcast.com, and you get the discount. That's it. And it's I would get that. I think I'm going to actually give one to my father for Father's Day. So Skip would actually like it better than my father would. Skip likes those kind of those gizmos and gadgets. But they are a great sponsor of this show. Thank you so much to HD Mirror Cam, HDMirrorCam.com. And, of course, for all of our patrons, guys and gals, the patrons are the lifeblood of this show. It's the only reason why it's a two-hour show. So please, go to patreon.com/quitefrankly and check out what we have there for all of you. I do have some vacancies that I think that you all would be very, very interested in hearing about. Okay, number one, there is one spot left in the 1868 Club for anyone who wants to become a pen pal of mine. There's only one vacancy left, 1868. I know everybody's always like, how can I be a pen pal? Well, there's a vacancy. So go running over there quick, quick. The golden ticket's in there somewhere. There's 10 more spots on the 1985 Show Bumper Club. That's where you can make your own station ID that you see Moonlit Matt and Dan Spratlin and Mark Swan and Big Pump and all them doing great things for this this show. You can make your own bumper. And then, of course, there's still openings for the Awkward Polaroid Club. And that's where you get this weird Polaroid picture that I send you every month to your house because I love you. I do these things because I love you. All these weird things that I do is because I love you. And you've shown me so much love, too. So thank you all so much. Hats off to our men and women in the military and also our first responders here at home. When we get back, we're going to take all of your calls and just coast into the rest of the evening. So now, it only takes you $1 to get you onto the nightly credit roll, and that's all I care about. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you have been so gracious and generous with me. But remember, I would much rather have you on for 6 years as a patron, paying $1 or $5 a month voluntarily, of course, because you know this is an original show, live, interactive every night that is always going to be free. So this is only voluntary. If it's not within your means, then please, I'm just totally fine with retweets and likes on Twitter and Tumblr and all that stuff. That's totally fine. But for those of you who insist on becoming a sponsor and a more intimate friend of the show, just remember, I'd rather have you on for 6 years at $1 or $5, something that you know you're going to be able to handle for a long time, than blowing your load and giving $50 or $75 or $100 a month and only being able to stay on for 3 months. Trust me, I'm grateful for all of the things that you guys and gals show me, and I'm always going to be. So let's hit those new plateaus. Really want to get there. And also, there's some merch There's some merch now on quitefranklypodcast.com. You can get mugs. My mug hasn't come in yet. There's quite frankly mugs there, and I think there's a hoodie that Abe put together real quick. And just remember, I know that you know the hoodie. I can't wait until we have our own ways of pressing our own stuff so that we can make them a little bit cheaper. But you have to understand this is a Teespring thing, so they already put their own costs in there and shipping. It's rolled all on in there, so the margins are what they are. But it's that's that. So if you're looking for another way to help out, you can go check that out on the merch section on quitefranklypodcast.com. We'll see you soon, everybody. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to intermission.
Quite frankly, when men are made and bagels are destroyed.
Wow.
I'm Moonlit Matt, and you're watching Quite Frankly. Remember to take those pants off and to pause the show before you call in. I swear to God.
Holy shit. So E does equal MC squared. That is fucking fast. Oh shit. I did not see you there. Good thing. You're watching the Quite Frankly podcast. Good for you.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy. We shall have peace.
All you have to do is let the Sith rule the galaxy, and there will be peace for everybody.
Right.
That's always what it comes down to, too. Just give us control. Everything will be fine.
I'll take care of you. Give away your power.
Everything will be fine. Trust us.
What's the worst that could happen?
We're from the government. We're here to help. Okay, everybody. So now the Skype is on. Is it? Let me see here. Nope, it was not. So start drinking. The Skype you can call in is 914-595-6953. 914-595-6953, or just search Quite Frankly Podcast on Skype. In the meantime, listen to this. Survivors are now penning revenge obituaries to settle scores with the departed. So you want to talk about just grudges going into the afterlife. Listen to this one thing. Actually, let's take a call real quick. What is going on, Big Pump?
Your shirt sucks, man.
Hey, no, listen, I'm wearing your...
Don't say nothing. It's a tease. It's a tease. Don't say nothing, Frankie.
Your shirt. Your shirt is in the dryer right now, and I'm going to be wearing it.
No, Frankie, what are you doing?
What happened?
You're ruining the surprise.
What was the surprise?
For the new mics we're coming out with.
But you didn't... You didn't watch the show the other night?
Yeah, I watched the show.
Oh, you saw everybody. I showed the thing already.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You wanted to do that together? Because I'm going to wear it.
Too late now.
Oh, shit. Oh, I didn't know you wanted. Okay.
I must have fell out midway through the show.
Oh, I did a whole thing on it. I was going nuts about it. But what I did was, because that was when it just came in the mail. But what I did was I got home.
Was that last night's show?
It was the night before. And then last night when I got home.
I gotta rewatch then.
It doesn't matter because I went home and I threw it into the laundry. It's in the dryer right now. And tomorrow night for the Friday night show, I'll be having it on. So don't worry about that.
Oh, no, I ain't worried about that. I'm just like, we're doing a thing here. For the people.
Well, yeah. Let's do a complete sales pitch tomorrow. First of all, where's this set up? Is this set up on a site somewhere? The Big Pump shirts.
Because we're on the Quite Frankly show. They got to pay for advertising, so it is a site. Yes.
Right.
But I'm not gonna put their name out there until they support the Quite Frankly show. So, no, they don't get publicity till they support my boy. But, Frankie.
Yeah.
That design, you like that design?
Dude, I really do like it. It is very, very solid and simple. And you best believe I am going to be wearing it far more than people expect.
But here's the thing, though, Frankie. I wasn't so satisfied with it.
Really?
So I come up with another one, and there's another design coming next week.
Next week?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have an entire superhero wardrobe of just Big Pump shirts.
All right, so you motherfuckers in the chat room, we're doing big things for you, all right? And we're going to give you some really, really, really good merch. And support my boy, Ratty.
I can't wait, man. Yo, call in tomorrow night. We can talk a little bit more about it when I have it on.
Yes, sir. I'm going to get out of here and let everybody else have their chance.
All right, man.
I love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. Have a good one.
All right.
Be well. All right, let's take some more calls. I saw Scott Anthony just called. I'd love to take his call. Hold on. Let me call him. Let me call Scott. Here he is. Hey, Scott Anthony, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man? So, first of all, I'm glad that the word got out. Did somebody tell you that the word back on?
Hold on, I got dogs barking while I'm getting my feckless cunt tattoo put on my back. Bear with me here, which is actually better than my HD mirror cam with a 60-day guarantee. Anyway.
60 days.
So, 60-day guarantee. I love that.
You have 60 days to catch somebody screwing up your car. That's it.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
So, dude, now listen, I'm first of all, this is one of the reasons why I'm so happy that the internet came back on, because you've been reporting on some very interesting stuff regarding Arizona. What is the big stuff so far?
All right, big stuff so far. Okay, so Veterans on Patrol met with the Tuscan Police Department yesterday. They had a long conversation. One of the lieutenants actually talked to him, and I wrote an article about it because it was rather lengthy, the notes I took on it. But basically, there was a little tit-for-tat going back and forth. The
Tucson.
What's it called? Tucson. Police was saying...
Tuscan Raiders.
Tucson police is basically... Yeah, Tuscan. Tucson police is basically saying that Veterans on Patrol is nothing more than a neighborhood watch kind of thing. They got to abide by neighborhood watch rules, etc. There's some shady things going on in the past, so that sort of raised a little red flag for me. Now, I'm not saying that they're not legit. I'm not saying they don't help veterans. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, but a red flag was raised yesterday with that for me. So I wrote up an article about that. It was very fair. It's word for word. Nobody can really dispute that. Then later on last night, this is where it gets a little interesting. The guy from Veterans on Patrol turns out is not a veteran. Now, I was under the impression that he was a veteran. He looks like a veteran. He was talking like it, although real veterans are kind of saying they saw right through that. So I don't know what you think about that, but I think that was kind of weird.
This was the guy. This was the guy you were watching on Monday night when we covered this for the first time. This was the guy who was hosting those live streams and giving those first tours around the camp that they found.
Yeah, that's him. Lewis Arthur is his name. That's the guy that in the past has climbed flagpoles and protests and things like that. But he's done some good things. But again, with caution. I think people need to use caution when they follow this because he's not a veteran, and yet he's the spokesman and the face of Veterans on Patrol. And the name itself, Veterans on Patrol, meaning it sounds like veterans are doing patrols, right?
Right, exactly. My next question was: is it open to more people than just veterans? But then you have to change that name.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I mean, it sounds like he's doing a lot of things for the homeless and the homeless veterans. So that in itself is good, but then there's a lot of information out there now, and I'm going to probably pop it up later, that was uncovered by multiple Anons on the Chans and people like Unirock and a few other people were like really digging into this, and they found a lot of information that kind of makes him look a bit sketch, if you get my idea. So
what about Craig Sawyer's increased involvement? Is he still maintaining his involvement? Has he increased it a little bit? And what's like? Because this is the first time I've actually really even covered anything that Craig Sawyer is involved in. How is he shaping up as far as his reputation?
As far as I could tell. And again, I just got burned on this one, so I could get burned on Craig Sawyer, too, because I was under the impression that the guy on Veterans and Patrol was a veteran, never even thought to check if he was an actual veteran, so I got burned on that one. Craig Sawyer, from what I see online and from what other people are reporting in, seems to be okay, seems to be a legit veteran, seems to have a legit organization, so... But I think he's being cautious, too, about his involvement. I mean, he did go see the scene out at CMEX in the, you know, Tucson area. He did an assessment there. He did go on Hagman and Hagman's live stream and said it looks like a child sex site, whatever. But that's as far as I've seen with him. And I've been following the Veterans on Patrol pretty closely after I found out he wasn't a veteran. And then today we get the news that they found a skull and the skeletal remains of somebody, and they live streamed that, and that was interesting. So, you know, there's this thing. I told you this the other day. This is a roller coaster. So I don't know where this is going to end up. I got burned on not checking him to see if he was a veteran first. That's my bad. That's on me. That's 100% on me. But did he find a skeleton today that looks like a child skeleton? It looks like he did, but I can't. You know. I'm not there, so it's very difficult.
So it was a little bit more, it was a little smaller in size, it looked like?
Yes, it was. Okay. Yeah, it was. I saw the live stream, I was watching it, I captured the live stream as well because it was getting a little wonky, so I went and grabbed the video. It does look like a smaller skull based on, you know, they put one of their feet next to the skull, it looks like a small skull. So did they find a child's skeleton? I don't know, it looks like it. They did call the sheriff's department out there. The sheriff's department did come out, and they were a little less than hospitable to Veterans on Patrol. They were a bit snarky with them, but they did respond after 2 hours. So the sheriff's department got there 2 hours later. They did have a valid excuse why they couldn't get there quicker. That seemed okay, but they were a bit snarky about it. So, okay. You know, it's all in the live streams. It's out there. It's interesting. It's interesting.
And that's where things are right now.
That appears to be where things are right now.
Okay.
It's nutty. It's up and down. And so we're going to try. I'm going to try and definitely validate this guy even further and see what other things. Because I know there's ties to the Bundy Ranch situation, which that's a nightmare if you try and investigate into that. I mean, there's two camps on that. There's the pro Bundys and anti Bundys, and then there's the infiltrators. It gets crazy out there. And you know how YouTube is. I mean, if you pick a side, you better be ready to stand your ground because you're going to get slaughtered in the back and forth. So,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. And dude, that's why I thank you so much for shouldering a lot of the work that we have featured on this show since Monday night, because it's just it's hard enough to write 2 hours a night. So it's great to have friends and colleagues and people who are willing to come on and just share what they've learned, and we can just put it all into the mixing pot and see where it all
Yeah, we'll see where it ends up. You know, and the one thing you did cover that was amazing was that two hop thing, because the two hop thing is interesting. Is it basically with the two hop rule, that means I should be investigated because I'm only two hops away from Donald Trump. I mean, I'm friends with Roseanne Barr, and she's friends with Donald Trump. So therefore, I'm friends with Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton's only one hop from Vladimir Putin, so I don't know why she's not being investigated. But this one hop, two hop thing is crazy, the way they're using it.
Well, I mean, that is one thing. That is one of those. Technically, yeah, if you were being investigated and you had direct messages, because they can go into most electronic messaging and email and whatnot. If you were direct messaging with Roseanne Barr, and if she was,
that means I'm guilty by association now. No matter what, I mean, I'm guilty because I'm friends. I have one hop to
Roseanne
Barr.
That's the crazy thing about it. Hey, listen, we can talk about the abuse that this system was being abused, but that's why no matter what it comes down to, the fact that this system exists is very, very unsettling. I don't trust anybody from any party with this nonsense.
No, I wouldn't trust either party.
No,
I
mean, really, absolutely
either
not.
Both parties are corrupt as hell. And they've been corrupt as hell. And you know what? Here, just before I go, I know you got other callers coming in.
Yep.
The one thing I want to recommend people do is take a look if you have Showtime. They're doing that series with the New York Times. I think it's called Fourth Estate. It's very interesting because it starts from day one of Donald Trump's presidency. And you can see them actually creating the Russian narrative story on the back end of this, behind the scenes.
Mm.
And it's so interesting watching them interact with MSNBC, CNN, and how these stories actually develop behind the scenes, because they literally are following all the top journalists from New York Times from day one through day 400 or so, or day 500 maybe.
Wow.
It's very interesting. I just got through the first hour and a half of it, a series, the first installment, but there's four up there on Showtime already. So they must have been following. I just found it. They must have been following them since day one. It's very interesting.
Scott, thank you for that, man. Yeah. I got to put that on the to-do list.
The Fourth Estate.
Great.
All right, brother.
Well, thanks for everything.
I'll let you know if there's any more updates. You'll hear from
Absolutely. Well, I'll be in touch with you either way. So I'll pester you after the show.
Not a problem. You got it, brother.
All right, take care. Okay, Rob, what do you think about that, man?
Well, we talked earlier about my apprehension about some of the things, and he kind of just corroborated that. I had not heard anything that he had just said as far as they found a human skull. They found human remains on a live stream.
Yes.
I'm going to have to look. I haven't seen
anything. Saw the pictures. I saw those pictures right before we went live. So that's...
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Smith, you're on. What's going on, Smith?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man. What's on your mind tonight? You can do whatever you want.
All right, I've got a couple things. I put something up in the chat earlier that I thought was a good reason why the Vatican was being represented at the Bilderberg meeting.
Very great topic.
Yeah, and it was just brought to my attention 2 days ago that the Pope has got a warrant out for his arrest for the help of the cover-up of some of the pedo bishops.
A warrant from who? From what country has issued it?
From Interpol.
International?
Yes.
A warrant for the Pope?
Yes. I couldn't believe it myself.
Did you verify it? Hold on
a
second.
There's a guy on David Zublik. He does a video on it, and all the people that were tied to it and the three bishops that were being brought up on charges.
424 Scribd D, arrest warrant issued against Pope Francis. I'm just trying to find arrest warrants issued for old and new Pope. This is Facebook.com. I'd have to look into this.
Okay. There was another thing also that was the bad thing. The good thing is the cryptos are ready to pop, and you should probably check out the price of your Litecoin by the end of the month, because they say there's a big pop coming.
What would make Litecoin pop, and what conditions are building up right now that you can make that statement with certainty that Litecoin is about to pop off?
Well, in the charting that I've been doing, we've been watching how it's been a downtrend, and now we've hit the bottom, and we're just kind of going sideways, and we've been going sideways for about 2 weeks now. So everything's in perfect, as far as charting is concerned, ready for this thing to pop. In the next, I don't know, 5 days, it's going to start going up. And then by the end of the month, we should see close to where we were, maybe where we were in December, which is close to $20,000 Litecoin, because we're going to start seeing the banks and the hedge funds and all of these different corporations going to be now be able to get in and be and do it legitimately. That's how Goldman Sachs is getting in. The who else was it? Circle, I think, is also with Goldman Sachs.
They're so letting all the old players in now.
Now, yeah, there's all of the big players are coming in. That's what I'm saying. It's ready to pop.
It doesn't that scare you though? That all the it sounds to me like crypto is one of those things where it's like the Wild West and you want to get away from regulation, and then all of a sudden all the people you were running away from show up to the party.
Well, yeah, but as long as you keep the crypto decentralized, you're safe. It's when you centralize the crypto, like Ripple and some of the other cryptocurrencies that are out there that are centralized, like Steam. Steam is also a centralized one. That means certain people have control of what goes on in the ledger. But with decentralized, nobody can control it, and you can't manipulate it and try and hide money.
Well, thank you for the call, Mr. Smith. Very good information. I'm going to keep some eyes open about this arrest warrant for Pope Francis, because I don't see any websites I recognize talking about it right now. But
David Zublek on YouTube has done a video on it. He's got one it's last video that he did.
All right, I'll take a check. Actually, if you can email it to me, that would be great.
All right, I will.
All right, thanks a lot, brother man. I'll talk to you a little bit. All right, let's take a call from Poopy. What is going on, Poopy Butthole? Poopy? Hey, man.
Yo, man, I got a request from the chat room. Somebody wanted to see my cat, so...
Okay, hold on one second. Let me get this on. Let me get you up here. What's the cat's name?
It's Musa. You can see him?
Thank you so much. Yes, I love it.
Oh, he's great, but he's huge. Look at him.
He is a big boy.
Say hi. Say hi.
What the fuck is this, man? What is this, man? I'm in my room. It's okay. We'll
yo,
go over
man.
There.
So let me give my 2 cents. And the only thing that's pissing me off is with the Samantha Bee thing. Like, everybody's acting like she was the one who decided to say it on live TV, and she said it, and it was. Then she had to apologize. That's not how it is.
Not live television. All of that is pre-recorded. So that
exactly. It's 15 writers sitting there. They know absolutely well that it's gonna the type of reaction that it's gonna get from everybody. They know before that they're gonna have to issue an apology, and the apology is gonna be written by the same 15 writers. It and then just people are eating all this shit up, thinking like, oh no, it was Samantha Bee, that Samantha STD that that said it, that made it up, and it pisses me off how just people just get fed this bullshit and everybody's just eating it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she has a hand in the writing and the way it's coming out there, and she's in on all those production meetings. She knows what she's doing going into every segment. It's very, very scripted. I mean, even Bill Maher has a great team of writers around him. Oh. I mean, that's all they do. Every punchline is written.
You can tell when you watch Bill Maher.
All those shows,
live.
Daily shows, same way.
Yeah, but Bill Maher does it live, and you can see when he gets thrown off, he gets irritated and scrambles.
Yeah, New Rules is eight people behind at backstage.
Oh, absolutely,
all of his New Rules is behind stage.
But what's messed up is this. This is like a fad. Going against Trump and making these jokes is a fad, and he gets supported by the criminal news networks that just come out and just say that. Oh, Trump lied again. He just lies. And they're saying that about somebody who's actually not lying. They haven't proved anything that he lied about. But meanwhile, for the past 20, 30 years, when we had Obama and Bush, not a single word did they say about them lying.
You know, the thing here is you always have to remember too that they're crafting a narrative, they're crafting an aura of a feeling. They're trying to stoke a feeling so that people carry this into their lives and they start having it affect their decision making, especially the decisions and the choices they make in the voting booths. That's exactly what this is here. And the other thing is too, a lot of this stuff comes down to that. That old choice between whether it's lawful or whether it's in a taste, you know, good taste. Is it law or is it a matter of taste? And these people, they think that their tastes is law. They think that some kind of social etiquette that they approve of is law. And if you don't do that, that you're completely off base and it's unconstitutional to a leftist just means it hurts my feelings.
Absolutely. They're so selfish these days that they think that's it. Whatever they think they got the answers to everything and nobody else is right. I'll tell you one thing, though. It is what's exciting is what's going to happen in the next few weeks with the OIG report.
Yep.
That's number one. Q came out and said that it's going to be a big week. And number two, still waiting for that 11/11 date when we're going to have the Veterans Day military parade and. So
I can't
think
wait.
Good things are coming slow.
Let me tell you something, man. I cannot wait for November 11th. First and foremost. Oh, God. Well, we're back. This is. Let me tell you, everybody. We're going to take two more calls. I wanted to go for the full 2 hours, but this is heartbreaking to me. Okay. All right. Talk about having your rhythm screwed up. This is heartbreaking. Thankfully, I recover quickly. I've got good stamina, and I recover quickly because we can go right back at it. But I'm going to take two more calls. I know I was cut off when I said, and thank you so much, Shadow Scoundrel, for that. I was cut off when I said I can't wait for November 11th, which is going to be, of course, that big military parade. I can't wait for that date. Primarily because it means that the midterm elections are going to be done with. They're going to be behind us. And I can just concentrate on the holidays and nice, cozy, you know, dark weather over here. Talking with you guys, we start doing a little bit more. I love holiday shows because we start talking a little bit more about, you know, Western culture and cozy things and good music and all that stuff. Aside from the nuts, the craziness. But I cannot wait for November 11th to come around, because especially if the midterms go well. Rob, I don't know about you. It's up to you. I know that you have you are very, very particular about where you are at what times. But if the midterm elections go well and everything stays in a nice pro-liberty place where we still have a chance to keep working and not have any kind of nonsense in our way, where majorities are kept in place, even that I hear myself saying these things and I keep telling myself, God damn, you sound like a Republican. It's not like that at all, but this is just the horrible medicine that would have to be in place for there to even be a chance for continued progress. So what I would have to say here is that if things go well in November, I am definitely going to fill up a car and go on down to D.C. and just check out that military parade. I would love to be there for that.
Oh, that's what, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Let's go do that, man.
Oh, I love road trips, man.
Okay, so that would be great.
That's fun. I thought you were going to try and rope me into some other shit. I was like, I don't know.
What's that? Mike's, hell yeah, we'll be good.
All right, yeah, I'm
we'll
definitely
be okay. We'll be okay. The whole ride down will be great. But Leah, let's take two more calls. Oh, go ahead. What'd you say?
How are you going to take a call?
I don't. What? We're not on?
I don't think so. We're buffering again.
Is it happening again?
I got a on the screen I'm looking at.
You know what? Let's just okay. Let's take a call and see what happens. Hey, 541. You're on the air. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Lenny Time.
What is going on,
Lenny? Time, hey? Yeah, I am listening to the show. Let me pause you.
Okay.
I was just going to talk a bit about steampunk radio and how we now are setting up a game plan to blast this game into orbit.
Tell us
and
about
so
it.
So I've been in touch with Frank Bacon, and you know Frank Bacon.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Love Frank. Good guy.
Yeah. Frank keeps getting on the Steemit kick. but between Steam It, Discord, Steampunk Radio, and whatever anybody else wants to come up with, we're going to take the meme steampunk, and it's just going to mean whatever we care to make it mean. And so instead of listening to what they tell us to do and how to behave, our game is now to just behave as we wish and not pay any attention to their game. So if we wanted to develop a game, for instance, to run our own candidates in the election for Senate, I bet there's enough people who could make a game of it that we could find an independent in every district that has a Senate race and run somebody in that race. But it's really not worth our time. There's better things to be doing. But for some people, they might like to use their time like that. So I wanted to point out how much the crypto fiction on Steam It is exactly like the cryptocurrency that people are playing with in the monetary system, for the way it uses the blockchain to amplify the things you do now into the future. We're all cutting edge on this, so we're getting in at a stage where whatever actions you take have ramifications down the road that are only going to build. So instead of reacting to whatever they're doing, why not just do whatever we're doing? So that's the theme of what steampunk is.
Well, that's that sounds like a great theme, Lenny. And I encourage everybody to be completely independent and do whatever the hell they want and stay, you know, as long as you're doing no harm to anybody, go out there and pursue everything and put all your ideas out there and make a good case for whatever the hell, however the hell you see the world and where we should go. And that's that. And thanks for the call, man. It's great, great to have you on. And I'm a big fan, and I'm always rooting for steampunk. What's that?
I want to tell everybody that I'm now on Steampunk Radio at noon Eastern on Monday through Friday with a live show, and every day it's going to be different format. So try TuneIn Radio app to get Steampunk Radio, or go to steampunkradio.com, or come into my Discord room and listen to being part of the live studio audience.
Thank you so much for that, Lenny.
We'll have fun with you.
Now, that's great.
All right. Take care, then.
Have a good one. Be well. I wonder what having a new format every night is going to be like.
I don't know. If the internet doesn't drop out, it might be...
it might work.
It might work, yeah. I will say that I really agree with the one aspect of what he said. Instead of being reactive to what they're doing, you know, you do what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that was a great point.
That's reacting is another thing. Instead of reacting is pretty much just being on the defensive.
Right. Well, you're not living in real time. You're not present.
Right.
Because you're being dictated to.
Absolutely. Let's take one more call because this has been like pulling teeth. Gambit, what's going on, Gambit? You're the last caller of the night. I'm unfortunately.
Yeah. What's up, Frank and Rob?
What's up, Gambit?
Yeah. Did you guys know that McCabe knew that he was getting a sexual harassment complaint during the time that Mike Flynn was interrogated by him?
Wow.
And Mike Flynn was the witness of the sexual harassment.
So there is reason to believe that not only was Mike Flynn a target just to be picked off because he was part of the incoming president's cabinet, but there's also a personal reason for him to be taken off the table because McCabe didn't want him to testify about sexual harassment.
Yeah, McCabe like just wanted him gone or something.
Where was this reported?
It broke like 2 hours ago, I think, on Gateway Pundit and a couple other places. So this account on Twitter, Nick Schwert, he reported it. So yeah, that's a pretty big deal right now. Also, let's see. Yeah, Yankee. I was about to say, like, Yankees. Didn't you say last week that our pitching wasn't that great?
Yeah, my boy Sonny Gray came through last night.
He did.
Right? Yeah.
He did it. But listen, first of all, would you
Drake
still...
Drake was all like talking shit about Sonny Gray.
I still talk shit about... Listen, he's done great. He's done great against... He's done great against the Kansas City Royals. He's done great against the Orioles.
Those games count too.
He does. He did great against...
They play for 7 months out of the year.
Did great against Toronto. They're all shit teams and they're all on the road. If he pulls off three or four solid starts like that at home, I will start turning the page on everything that he had.
Yeah, I know the weakness at home kind of gets to me.
That's the problem there.
He didn't seem like that to me though when they got him. Hey, I thought that he was like
I never said Sonny Gray is amazing. I'm just saying he's not that terrible. Like
right.
people are making out to be like horrible.
He had a good strike zone last night. He had a good strike zone last night. Good control of everything. His fastball is around 95 mile an hour for a little guy.
Yeah.
That's great stuff and a lot of movement. So I liked watching him pitch last night, that's for sure. But
and
I would like
How about them home runs, man? Home runs? 13th inning?
Hey, if there's going to be a time to do them in a tie game in the 13th inning, that'd be a great time for some home runs. Absolutely.
Last thing, NBA playoff sucks. It's so boring. NHL finals tonight again, Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but listen, I don't watch either of them, but I heard that the NBA NBA ratings were through the roof, that they keep breaking records. Well,
I know, but like, I don't know why people keep watching. It's just so boring and so rigged. Like, it.
You think that's a rigged game? You think that?
They rig it like prior to the finals, you know, to get the result that they want, which is Golden State and Cavaliers. That's what I think.
How can you prove that?
I just can't take the politics, to be honest with you. I like the game of basketball. I like the game of football. Well, the way football was played when I was growing up. But, you know,
I'm a Nets fan. I mean,
you're a Nets fan?
Yeah, I mean, only because Jeremy Lin's on the team. But, you know,
he's still in the league.
Yeah,
really?
He got injured last year.
Wait, is that the same Lin Sanity guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that. That was like 10 years ago.
Well, maybe like
he's
six,
still good.
Yeah.
I mean, he just got injured last year.
I remember him. And I don't remember anything. I just remember he was on the Knicks for a little while.
Yeah.
And he was hitting like all these three pointers and then.
Yeah.
And then the novelty wore off a little?
He went to the Rockets, Lakers, okay. Hornets, and then the Nets.
Gotcha. Hey, man, yeah. Gambit, thanks for the call. Another good one.
All right, man. See you guys later.
All right, take care. All right, you know what? One more. She's always very, very chipper. She'll give us all a nice ride over here. Lil Wrong Way, how are you? Make us all happy.
Hello. I've been calling in like a little freaked out fangirl if you weren't seeing on your screen, right?
Yeah, I saw you and I saw about five others.
Yeah, well, I was calling like a little freaked out fangirl, calling like a huge radio station. I'm like, Redal. I needed to say hello to Rob. Hello, Rob, a.k.a. and my friend Babyface. What's up, buddy?
How are we doing, Wrong Way? We needed your energy right now at the end of this. This was a tough one to get through with all the dropouts. So.
Well, I did. The reason why I called is because we have a question from many, 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 many moons ago when you first seen me. Mm-hmm. You asked. I think you guys were like eyeballing my profile picture, and you were like, Wrong way. I wonder how she got that name. Well, now I have the answer for you finally. I've been waiting all this time to be able to call in while you were in the show.
My mother
was a truck driver. She hauled liquid chemicals, green liquor and black liquor, way back in the early 90s when they didn't have to, they could lie on their logbooks, basically.
Okay.
And when you're hauling hazardous material, they're really strict on you. Well, back then they could do where you could drive in packs and you would have they'd be like, oh, you're the least tired, you're leading the pack, and the rest of them will blindly follow. My mother led four hazardous material semi-trucks, two hauling green liquor and two hauling black liquor down an 8-lane highway going the wrong way in the middle of the night.
Really?
So her handle changed from whatever it was at that time frame to Wrong Way. So I inherited the name Little Wrong Way.
Oh.
And I've lived up to it.
You know what?
I had to answer that question. You asked me that question like, what, a year ago? And I've never been able to get on to answer that question for you, Rob.
Oh, well, I'm glad you finally.
That's a great story, actually. Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a really great story.
Trucks going the wrong way down the highway.
That's it. Your mom.
Well, yes, and they were able to, you know, the guys in the back, you know, got on the CB and were like, wrong way. And then they turn around, you know, they were able to get the, you know, it was late in the night, so they were able to get the trucks turned around because one of those trucks would have toppled. They could have took out a Tri-County area. These were some serious chemicals. And fortunately, nothing was done. Nobody's seen what happened. It seemed to be swept under the rug. It was all hush hush. But she inherited that name. It was now the wrong way. And then obviously I was her daughter, so I got hit with that. And then I did have a question for you, Rob.
Yes.
I do want you to look into the FAA cams with all of the weird extra planets we seem to have in the sky. I know I sent a message to Frank about it. But I don't know if he talked to you about it. You're the person I'd like to talk to about that one day.
Okay.
With all these
planets?
Weird planets showing up on our FAA cam.
Really? I mean, I've been aware of the one planet that was supposed to come through, you know, bearing destruction and whatever.
No.
This is like a total solar system. There's one that's like a red crater-popped planet that seems to be revolving quite quickly. There's like four or five, maybe even six of them.
Wait.
I sent the link to Frank.
You're talking about these
the
things
lady?
That were showing up, these things that these they almost look like optical illusions in the sky where they show up right there on the sky without any by the naked eye. You're talking about
they're coming up on the FAA weather cams, and that's how the lady's catching them. She's staying up and snatching the footage before they delete them off the FAA cams, and she's getting a lot of them, mainly like a lot of Alaska cams and things like that. And no, they're not any sort, I mean, they look like they could be optical illusions, but they seem to be more like optical illusions because of our skies being so hazy, and you know, and that's what leads me to think that that's a possibility as to why that they say they're chemtrailing. Oh, we are doing the chemtrailing. We admit it, and we're trying to help out with the global warming. But if you think about it full circle, now all of a sudden we're seeing these planets. You got to think about it. We're hurling through the universe. You know, we're not just sitting still. Sooner or later, we're going to come across the planetary system, and I would love to see it. Like, stop spraying the air. I mean, if we're going to go out, I want to go out looking at some pretty planets.
Yeah, well, I guess so. And thanks for the call a little long way. It was a great way to end this.
Love you guys.
All right.
I love you, YouTube live chat. Mwah. Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye. Rob, I haven't seen any plants in the sky, aside from...
Send me the thing. I would check it out.
I mean, I'll go look. Maybe she'll send them a little wrong way. If you can just send those to me again, those links, I'll just forward them over to Rob.
Yeah.
And that's that. But I think that if there were a planetary system just floating around extra around us, that they would not be... I don't think that we'd be able to cover them up by spraying the air with... Or it's seeding clouds or... I don't think that would be enough to... If the Death Star showed up, I think we would still see it.
Yeah. You know, bringing it back to that global reset thread and that Taoist, you know, he did mention that... He called it the Sun of Justice is what you would see. It's like another... Did she say red with the planet? Because
I think red.
Yeah, they get like another red planet, not Mars, but that would become visible to us when you know that things are starting to turn... Or bifurcate, I should say.
Hey, at this point, I need something.
Yeah.
At this point, just please, just change it up.
Yeah.
And that's why tomorrow night we'll change it up, too. I want to be able to really just get some things out. I'm going to try to find a way to make it a really fun show. It was a fun week. And, Rob, thank you for coming and sticking this out with me, man, because this was rough.
You're a pro, though, man. I was getting agitated a little bit, and I'm pretty calm. So
rough.
But you handle it very well.
Well, thanks again for that.
And thanks to the people that stuck it out, too.
They do. That's the best part about this. You know, I think when we encountered a lot of technical difficulties when it comes to the internet connection here, the first thing I think about was people are just going to jump ship. And I'm so happy that people know that this is just something that's not even in our hands, and they stick with us, and I just love the show. Now, there's a marked difference between a show that's uninterrupted and one that is interrupted because the flow is not cut off.
Right.
One thing leads to another. It, you know, sometimes you're just on a train of thought that You got to keep that going.
Right.
You know, if we take a 10-minute break in between sentences, you lose the mojo you had.
Right.
But
the energy definitely gets changed. I mean, we didn't even know if we were going to go on tonight until a minute before. You know, can't check anything out, but
yeah, you think about it. Two nights ago, when I had that baseball game, I was coaching. I come running over here within 12 minutes and get everything hauled up, and I energy all screwed up.
Yes.
I got here an hour and 15 minutes before launch time, so that I would be totally in the zone. And still, I only had 7 minutes to prepare because I didn't have an internet to download all the media I needed, but. I want to thank all of my super chatters before we go to our end credits. First of all, Zero, $5. Please check your facts. Stop trying to influence people with incomplete facts. Thanks, Zero. Thank you for the $5.
He gave you $5. That's
five,
cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Please check your facts. Stop trying to influence people. I'm having a conversation, Zero. That's what I'm having. You know what you do? You call in and you tell us what we might have to start considering. What we should consider that we haven't considered. That's how a dialectic works, you know.
Maybe he was just, you know, being a goof. He gave you $5.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? What is that, man? Was he like...
Could have only gave me $1. Could have just put $1 in there and said it.
Yeah. You're...
I don't know.
I don't think he was really being too...
Maybe not. MK999. How interesting. I subscribed to your channel for the first time. I didn't get a notification that you were on. The scumbags are getting scared. Hey, you know what? It's just YouTube's got a lot of problems. Got a lot of problems. First of all, the idea that you need to have a notification. You have to set a notification when you've already voluntarily subscribed to a channel that you probably want to see content from.
Right.
Is ridiculous. So, I mean, whatever. Mark Swan, just because. And then he shouts out Indiana Joe. Thank you so much, Mark Swan. Jack Martin, just because I called Drunk Frank and you were very polite. Oh, just because I called drunk,
comma.
Frank. You were, left out the comma. Yeah. Oh, no, there is a comma. No, there's not. No. Oh, Jack, you were drunk the other night? I didn't even know. You were very, very well spoken. Great. It was a great call.
Yeah, he was fiery.
I liked it. Mr. Smith, one reason for the Vatican being at Bilderberg meeting is the Pope is getting an arrest warrant over pedo bishops in Ireland and the Pope's help in covering it up. Well, we'll see.
They know where he lives. They know. I mean, they would just grab him.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Unless it's just some kind of a citizen's arrest deal.
That's what it seems, you know, a declaration.
Holly Angle, love your show, frankly. Thank you so much, Holly. Thank you so much for sticking around. I know your face. I know your name for a while now, so thank you for sticking around. And Trees Climbing Gear, a roll of Samantha Bee toilet paper. Yes, that would be a great thing. That'd be fantastic. Everybody, thank you so much. See you tomorrow night, same time, right here, hopefully, for an entire 2 hours. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out.
I'll catch you on the flip side.
The Quite Frankly podcast is filmed before a live studio audience. And now our super chatters, Mr. Zero, MK, Mark Swan, Jack Martin, Mr. Smith, Holly Engel, and Trees Climbing Gear. See you all tomorrow night for the Friday night edition. Have a great night, everybody.